T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The following is a KMOX Sports presentation.
Ryan Little will take the faceoff for the Jets. O'Reilly sticks her down. Blues get to it. O'Reilly takes it to the wall. Bring out the Zamboni and bring on round two. The St. Louis Blues beat the Winnipeg Jets 3-2 in game six. They win the series 4-2. And they're moving on, Joe Vitale.
Well, you have to love it. The fans deserve it. This team deserves it. Jordan Binnington deserves it. I just saw Craig Berube, a couple handshakes from his assistants. He goes straight down the gateway there. He deserves it. What an incredible season, and it continues. I can't wait for the next round.
Welcome to the Munganass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
From Enterprise Center, the wait is over. Nearly over 90 minutes, and Game 1 of the Blues and Stars second-round Stanley Cup playoff matchup will be underway. It's a pregame edition of the Munganast St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. I guess instead of the fourth period, it's the zeroth period.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
Makes sense to Cam Jansen. Mm-hmm. Amy Mark scores with us. Alex Ferrario as well. I'm Chris Raby. Ryan Schulte here. Mike Anderson at KMOX. Curbs and Joey will be along in just a bit. And, you know, I think, first of all, guys, the thing that stands out to me the most over the last couple of days, and Amy, we'll start with you because you were down in the dressing room with me on Saturday when the Blues won that game and clinched that series. You know, it's great. You win, you move on, but just seemed kind of business as usual.
It is the opposite of baseball, where they're popping champagne corks and mm-hmm. everything's covered in plastic and they're dancing around.
Which, by the way,
yes,
baseball needs an adjustment of ceremony.
Can I tone that down a little bit?
Well, here's what I mean by that. You should work your way up to the champagne.
You know what?
So you clinch to get into the playoffs. You have a keg of natty.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then maybe you
win the wild card
game, or you win the first round. Then you get like the Bud Light and the Budweiser aluminum bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Or just fist pump everybody like, good job, we got a lot more to go.
Yeah, then maybe you win next round
That's
to go to the
hockey
World
player
Series
answer.
And then it's champagne. Yeah, but
yeah.
You should start with like Stag,
or
Busch Light.
Stella yeah. Artois.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our toys.
First of all, you should have to drink out of a can first. Or out of a
bully?
Red Solo cup.
It is too much. That's a great point, though, Amy. It is
but
a little
great
too
point.
Much.
Great point.
Well, so no one on the Blues is doing that, I'll tell you that right now.
So. Well, and that's actually, to Chris's point, it's not like baseball. And if anything, if you could say that there's an element of a somber tone or even a gravitas in the middle of the celebration, that's what you feel. And I think it's because this, like, you get through that first round and you're like, step one mm-hmm. of four. This is a long journey. You feel it. And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's the, like, sports romantic in me. But I felt like in the midst of the celebration, there was a little bit of, why celebrate? There is so far to go.
And I think baseball, too, Cam, like, you can be in the NHL and know, for the most part, whether you're the Lightning or whether you're the Jets, you can know a month before the season ends that you're going to be in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Baseball, only a couple of teams get in, and once you get in, you may play a wild card game, but then in 3 days your season can be over, or in 7 wins you can be in the World Series. It happens a lot faster. I think you need to keep that focus and that mm-hmm. perspective in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, no doubt about it. Look, you're right. It's absolutely step one. The guys aren't celebrating with champagne. I did see Craig Berube make a joke afterwards, which was nice to see.
He was able to do that.
He chirped Petro a little bit. Then he told all the boys that 1 o'clock meeting at the Mills. And everybody's like, whoa. He's like, no, I'm just joking. And you know what? And they probably went out and had a good time. They had Easter off.
They should have still told the media to show up to the Mills.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
Tom Timmerman would have been there.
Dan O'Neill wasn't going to give out any emails on that one. But the funny thing is, though, it's nice to see him smile like that. And that was the first step. But again, they're going to enjoy it. They're going to be with their families. And then obviously back to work.
Okay, and to the point of the gravitas, because you brought up Greg Berube's joke. It's like Jordan Binnington. You just won the series. He's excited to have the next day off, and he's going to go to church.
Good for him.
That's his celebration.
I should
celebration.
Probably go with him.
I keep thanking whoever's helping him down there. I think
I think
a couple of years ago, it was maybe different because that first-round series, at least for fans and people around the organization, it was against the Blackhawks, and it was not just a first-round win. It was, you know, slaying a lot of demons. It was winning a Game 7. It was getting out of the first round after back-to-back years of blowing 2-0 leads, and it was beating the Blackhawks.
Yeah, but even then, I still feel like they weren't as excited beating the Blackhawks. Like, I still felt like that was a locker room that had the same mentality this one had where, okay, we beat the Blackhawks, that's great, but now we got to worry about the Dallas Stars. Now we got to worry about the next team moving on. And I think that's just the mindset of hockey players, and that's the reason why this sport is so much fun to be a part of in the playoffs, because it's unpredictable. I mean, look, you have no division leaders anymore in the playoffs. You make it to the next round, and you're not even focused on celebrating that round that you just defeated. I mean, the fact that you're not even focused on celebrating shutting the Winnipeg Jets to 6 shots on goal in 2 periods of play, you don't even care about that. You're already like, okay, but now we got to get to practice and get set for this next team.
Although I'm sure the boys had a little fun behind closed doors and after they left the rink.
As they should, though. As they should. They know they have time off and they're going to go celebrate.
Get up early for church.
They need,
a little extra vino
at
communion.
Fun. That was their fun. Going to church was their fun. No, but look, the guys went out and they did their thing.
That was Cam's fun.
That's completely fine. And it's funny how you bring the parody of the NHL. I guess everybody but my bracket, everybody kind of their brackets have been busted. Like, no other. I picked Columbus, and I also picked Carolina. No, I'm just joking. I didn't pick any one of those. But
Cam
no
told
one
me
did.
I was dumb to pick Washington. to pick Carolina.
Until the knockout happened, and then I switched my views on that because I thought that Carolina was going to get the momentum after Ovechkin knocked out Svechnikov, a young 19-year-old rookie, also Russian, probably looked up to Ovi his whole life, has pictures of Ovi in his room, and now he's
and you just got concussed by him.
That's why they say never meet your heroes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I do want to talk to you about that, and we'll talk about everything over the next 45 minutes or so that's gone on, including the end of the San Jose Vegas series, including the matchups we'll see in this second round. Boston and Columbus are underway. The Bruins a 1-0 lead a couple of minutes into the second period there. And also what we expect from this Blues team. We'll take a quick break, come back. We are just underway on a pregame edition of the Munganast St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open line. Speaking of knockouts, you think Oscar Sundquist, a little smile on his face when Tom Wilson was skating off the ice.
I'm sure he did.
Going to take the golf
clubs
out.
I'm sure he did. And he's getting the golf clubs out. No doubt about that.
We're back in a minute on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganast St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Munganast pre-owned on South Limburg. On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Back at Enterprise Center, Blues and Stars. Game one of their second round series. Just after 8:30 is when the puck will drop here in downtown St. Louis. And we've got the pregame skate coming up at 8 o'clock. I want to whip around the league a little bit with you guys. And we mentioned the San Jose-Vegas outcome. Everyone knows by now. We know that Eric Furlatt and Dan O'Halloran have been held out for the second round because of the controversial penalty that was called. And, you know, just in taking all of this in, Cam, as a player who has been in the middle of emotional games, that game at that point is over. And he can lays a cross check. And
a cross shove.
Yeah, a cross shove.
Let me call it a cross shove.
And the thing that stands out most to me was Marchessault after the game saying that the ref told him when he asked for an explanation, well, did you see how bad he looked? Referring to Pavelski.
Shouldn't matter.
On the ground after the ice.
Doesn't matter.
But that's the point that does matter. I think it was reaction and probably human nature to react to how it looked and the result of the hit rather than the actual hockey play itself. And if he doesn't fall down and crack his head on the ice, is it a different call? Is there a call?
Not at all. I don't even think it's going to be a call. Now, you can call that as a crime. When I mean it doesn't matter, it shouldn't.
And he even said it could be 2 minutes. Fine.
It shouldn't matter that somebody's injured on a play like that. So you're like, well, somebody's injured. I got to have to call something. Well, no, you don't. No, you don't. You have to kind of look back and see exactly what happened. That's why you have 3 other guys with you, and you should collectively look. Somebody must have saw something. It was right in front of where everybody's vision.
And then the ref even admitted like that they were looking at him. They're like, dude, that looks bad.
So, but they. they kind of put two and two together. They saw a cross-check. And can I just break it down real quick? So Pavelski won that face-off against Cody Eakin, and he won it completely clean. And he kind of got off balance because he won it so clean. And when Eakin was like, oh, you won it so clean, I need to adjust myself. I need to break away from you and get out to the point and either block a shot, get in the lane. So he pushes. He tries to brace himself off with a cross-check, a cross-push or shove or whatever you want to call it. Not a cross-check like I'm mad at you and I'm trying to cross-check in the back.
Yeah, that happens a lot on face-offs.
I'm trying to move you with the leverage of my stick. And all of a sudden, you're a couple feet away from me, so it looked like my follow-through was a cross-check. Fine, you got off balance. You got caught up with Paul Stastny, who was trying to also get out to his point because he won that so clean. It was a bad situation. The refs screwed that up completely. If he wouldn't have fell and hit his head, they probably wouldn't have called anything. Mm-hmm. They didn't call anything all night, really, it seemed like, especially when it comes to that kind of stuff, a battle and a face-off dot. It was a very unfortunate situation. And the San Jose Sharks rallied around their leader. Another leader that came by and cruised by the bench was Joe Thornton, who pumped everybody up and said, we need to take advantage of this five-minute major. And they certainly did that. All around, not great for the NHL. But boy, oh boy, the NHL is getting a lot of attention because of it, because that ending was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be talked about for the rest of these playoffs, just like the Saints and Rams playoff game was in the NFL.
Exactly,
but,
right.
But the problem is, like, how do you call that type of penalty when you don't even call a penalty during the play?
Consequentialism. Like, but that's all it is.
But I get that. Like, and give a two-minute penalty for consequentialism. But how are you going to give a 5 and a 10?
Hell, even a double minor.
Yes. How are you going to give a 5 and a 10 out for consequentialism? And then beyond that.
So how do you eliminate that?
Well, you eliminate it by reviewing it.
You're going to have to review it.
Look, if you can waste time reviewing goaltender interference, or if you can waste time reviewing offsides, you should be able to skate with your group of officials. There's four of them out there, and say, guys, what did we see?
Nobody,
what are we going to call
up
here?
Nobody stepped up and said, wait, no, he cross-checked his chest.
And I'm not saying, and Cam and I talked about this on the podcast today, there's no point in them doing this in the regular season or doing it at every moment of a hockey game because you're going to kill time and it's going to get boring.
It's going to slow the game.
I don't think it's going to be that bad, though. Like, we always say that, but like in the NFL, does anyone ever complain about the time of reviews?
But
no,
there's so many
to get it right.
But there's so many cross checks that I think you need to.
No. Make it major penalties.
Well, that's
major
what
penalties.
I'm saying.
Just review major.
But I think it needs to be something that has
black and white penalties that are objective. There is only one rule: if the Jets score in Game 5 after the delay of game called on Edmonton, when that puck clearly deflected off O'Reilly's stick, and the Blues lose that series, we're talking about that all summer.
Yeah,
100. That is a black and white penalty. I would say, just like I've said about offsides and potentially like the NFL reviews every score reviewing knows, I bet the officials get 98-99% of delay of game penalties right. But have someone upstairs, have one of the off-ice guys, it'll take 20 seconds.
Do we not have enough of them?
We saw the replay on Fox Sports Midwest twice before Edmonton was even sitting down in the box.
Well, you got so many guys in Toronto at the headquarters doing that, watching all of these games. You have them watch it,
and
as soon as they see something, you call down and you say, hey, let's figure this out.
And I don't think it would happen that often.
No, majors don't happen that often. We don't want to slow the game down. And if you want to do this during the playoffs, I'm okay with that. Or maybe even the third period. Whatever the case is, there's ways to do it. This is an easy fix.
Yeah.
The GMs are going to meet, and they're going to fix this. Like, and this is not going to happen again because it can't happen again.
The NBA, under 2 minutes at the end of each half, will review inbounds, out of bounds. Black and white. They're not going to do it all game. And if they see a ball and a ball gets tipped with 8 minutes left in the third quarter, they're not going to review that. But, I mean, those delay of game penalties, too, how are those not reviewable?
Never heard of the NBA. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's black and white.
I will say this. Props to the Las Vegas Golden Knights owner and the general manager, George McPhee, afterwards, because this is what people are talking about, and rightfully so. But he even said, look, we're not going to go into the offseason in the rearview mirror. Like, we're not going to be sitting here being like, oh, we should be in the playoffs still. No, we're going to go out there and put a better team on the ice. And, look, at the end of the day, you can talk about the poor penalty that was called or what happened, but you got to kill. You got to stop one of those goals. You can't allow 4 power play goals in 4 minutes. I mean, it's rare that you score a 5-on-3 power play in 2 minutes, let alone 4 goals in 4 minutes.
I can't believe they got off the mat and tied the game, Amy. Like, they got to OT.
Yeah.
I know.
And how much is this a story if Vegas wins that game?
Right. I mean, I think that's the part that we all forget, is that the game then had to be retied.
Because we talk about things very consequentially as well.
Okay, and here's...
No one's made a peep about that Edmondson penalty, even though that was just as egregious.
Well, and to Alex's point, at some point, kill it off. I mean, the Blues killed off Robert Thomas's double minor in a critical Game 5 when they were down. The Blues did what they needed to do. But to the... punitive system being contingent on the result of the infraction, that to me, there's luck involved. It's like when Malkin swung his stick at what's his face. He swung his stick in the regular
Raffle,
right? And he didn't make contact, so Malkin gets a one-game suspension. If he makes contact and he hits Raffle in the face, breaks his jaw, then you're going to get a much stiffer penalty. So in this case, it was just bad luck that Pavelski hit the side of his face on the ice when Stastny was trying to skate to the point. And if Pavelski doesn't get hurt, as Chris mentioned, I don't know that there's a penalty call.
At the end of the day, don't get in the middle of a game. You're an official. Don't get in the middle of a hockey game. Something like that, where there's so much time to be played, don't try and alter the outcome with you being a part of it.
Well, I think they need to be... involved. I think they were doing at the time what they thought was right. And
yeah, but
none of us will ever know. But the point is, let's, you know, we have all these resources.
Let's use them.
Let's help the officials.
This is an easy fix.
Let's help the officials. These guys, the two of them aren't going on to round two.
They're veteran guys, by the way.
They're losing out on money,
too. And we'll never know this, but how many officials would make the same call in the moment? It's in the heat of the moment. You don't know.
It's a great question.
But give them every resource to try to be successful.
I completely agree. This is an easy
fix.
That
is setting them up for criticism and failure.
It's an easy fix without slowing the game down. That's the last thing we want to do. And you bring up football. Football's already slow. So, like, if there's going to be more views, everybody's slow. And I get that. But hockey's not. We need to keep the pace up. That's why hockey is different than everything else.
Yeah.
Because the pace is so high, especially, you get your intermissions. But during the game, it needs to be flow. But you cannot have this. And if you look at if you've talked to any team, no team wants to go through anything like that with a bad call and have an ending the way that ended. Although unbelievably entertaining, but still, it's a black eye on the NHL in my opinion.
It's eye opening too because Dan O'Halloran's the active leader in playoff games officiating. So you're taking a guy.
I like him, by the way.
I do too. I mean, you're taking out a guy that is the main one when you get to this point.
Which is why I'm saying like. We can all sit here and kill them now, and you can say, don't make yourself part of the play. He's trying to make the right call.
I just
call.
Want to smack him around a little bit. That's all.
No, 100%, but I mean...
But the right call's not 5 and 10.
Well, but Alex, it's easy to say that when we watch the replay 10 times and
how often
we see the outcome of the game, but give them... Like we all reacted because we saw the replay, all right? And we knew the right call. Let them do that, too. Give them the same resources. Let them watch what we watched.
Right.
And then I bet that they, after the game, they probably saw that and said, holy crap, but we made a big mistake. And there they have a different angle, that they're watching different things. Some of them are looking at different areas, you know, like.
But a 5
and a 10
shouldn't be thrown out there.
But I think the issue is
give them a chance to look at it before they have to make the decision.
Right.
Why hold a gun to their head?
I agree with that, but I think what makes this call that much worse is that it wasn't that an arm was thrown up in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
They saw the end result.
They saw the end result.
Human elements, which we need to take out.
Not all of them. We don't want everything run by a computer by any stretch. We still have to have that human element.
But that is.
But when it comes to that, when it's
see it on a
when
screen.
It's a game changer, that's it. No, we're
surprised
good.
The officials don't have iPhones in their pockets.
We'll give you a double minor. Okay, and there you go, and you'll score two, and then you'll still win the game. It's not good.
It's not even a cross check too. Like watching the video.
It's a cross shove.
It's a cross shove.
The cross. It's right here.
It's get out of my way. I'm bench pressing my stick against you so I can get some leverage and push you out of my way because I screwed up on the face off and you want it so damn clean.
Right. And people were talking more about Paul Stastny too with him running into him. It's like Stastny was just trying to get to his position.
Because he's such a violent player.
Yeah. Right. That's what I told Amy last night. I said
he's such a violent player.
He's the least like him and Oscar Sundquist are the least likely players to do something.
His brother is a different story.
Oh, Jan
is a completely different story.
Jan,
or his dad.
Or Peter.
Jan.
But Paulie's just a good dude. He does his thing, and, he's a wily veteran.
I want you to share your thought, Cam, on the Carolina and Washington series, the way that ended, because it appeared Washington had it in the bag. And, again, a big storyline of the series was Alexander Ovechkin being challenged to the fight by the young Russian, the 19-year-old on Carolina, who said Ovechkin's his idol. He wanted to fight him. Ovechkin drops him. Cold knocks him out. And that, not just the fight, but the nature of the fight, you think turned the entire series.
I'll explain. I think now everybody's like, I can't believe Ovi beat up a 19-year-old. Get out of here. Get out of here. The kid was cross-checking Ovi. Ovi turns around and goes, what are you doing? And he smacked him again, and he smacked him back. He's like, let's go. Like, if you're going to do that to me, let's go. Don't you cross-check me. Don't you do that. I don't give a damn who you are. I don't care if you're 19 years old or not. It doesn't matter. Don't cross-check me. And then now you want to drop the gloves, okay, because I challenge you. You drop the gloves, fine. Now we're in it. The second bad thing that Svechnikov did was try to trade punches
with him. Be terrible
at
fighting.
He didn't have any defense at all. He looked like... It looked like Tony Twist going toe-to-toe, you know, throwing right down the pipe. And Ovi's like, okay, I can play this game, although I've only done it four times. Everybody know, I've only done this four times. I'm Alexander Ovechkin. I'm one of the best players ever. I've only fought four times. Yeah, I'm 230 pounds. But if this kid wants to throw down the pipe with me, I'll do it against him. He caught him. He caught him twice. His head hit the ice. Tables have turned. When it's that dramatic, when you beat a guy up that bad, it turns on you, and that's exactly what it did. Carolina got a big jump from that because they're rallying around this young kid, and they built off it, and Rob Brendamore is the one to pump up for that one.
Well, and Cam, let me ask you this question. Before you fought a guy, how many times did you check his age first?
Or his weight? Or his height?
Cam actually does it all the time.
Well,
say, hey, buddy, how old are you?
Here's the difference with me. I was in a heavyweight whatever. Like, I'm
right.
A tough – okay, so Ovi plays 20 minutes a night. I'm going out there and looking for the biggest boy. We got to do our thing. It is what it is. So if I ran a guy over and some young kid wanted to come up and you had to do it, like, you know, I might ragdoll him a little bit and be like, you know, but if they're challenging me, I'm, you know, I'm still going to stick up. Because what if he catches me with one? What if he catches me with one? I'm in a different situation than Alexander Ovechkin. Alexander Ovechkin's looking at this like, if I'm going to waste my time fighting you and get myself off the ice, which I don't want to do, my team doesn't want me to do, I'm going to make it worth it, and if you're going to try to trade down the pipe with me, I'm going to catch you, I'm going to throw to hit you, and it's exactly what happened. He's not thinking anything. He's thinking, who's cross-checking me in the back when I have the puck? Oh, this kid? Let's go.
Cam's going out there looking for Carey Price on the boards.
Well, that's different.
Have you seen or heard the Craig Berube, Jeremy Roenick story?
Probably.
Okay. So backstory is when Berube was on the Flyers and Roenick was on the Blackhawks. Roenick, I guess, chased him around for a while.
Roenick chased Berube around? You mean Berube chased Roenick?
Sorry, Berube chased Roenick around for a while.
Roenick ain't chasing Berube.
And,
I was going to say.
And Roenick spun around, I guess. We finally caught him and refs trying to get in the middle and cheap shotted him, slugged him, all right? So this goes on for about a decade. And I guess every time they played, Berube would get up on the bench and would scream and try to get Roenick. Finally, they become teammates in like 2001 in Philadelphia. And I guess it's during camp. Roenick, Berube are both in the room. Berube walks up, clocks him, and says, now we're even.
Now we're
even.
Funny how that is.
So I think maybe instead of Plager's gloves, player of the game every game should just be in the middle of the room and Berube should just come up and sock him in the face.
Well, you don't forget that kind of – look, if you play a bad game, you forget it. But if somebody cheap shots you and then chirps you, and you know it just wasn't a fluky thing where he just kind of nudged me and I fell in weird or whatever the case was, JR, like, let's be honest here. He's not, like, if he's going to get whacked, like, JR did that on purpose. So Berube's like, you know what?
Okay.
You're going to do this to me?
Okay.
And then now you're going to hide behind a couple guys that you have over there. That's fine. Another year goes by. I can't get to you. No, that's still in the back of your head. 100%.
And the greatest thing was, it was when he was with the Flyers and Berube was a player coach for the minor league team. They're all in the dressing room. He just clocks him, says, now we're even. And then Roenick says later that day, they played golf together.
Funny how that works. And they had a good time. It's just over at that point. Just let it be. It's over. You're even now. Don't do that again to me.
You know, the other thing that people aren't talking about in that Capitals-Carolina series is the Oshie injury.
Yes.
That's another big, big
that
element.
Play, by the way. Hate that
big
play.
Element.
We'll explain it probably after the break.
Let's take a break. That was brutal to see him watching that game last night. It is a pregame edition of Sports Up and Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Munganass St. Louis Mitsubishi on South Limburg. On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
20 minutes from Blues pregame Skated Enterprise Center. Chris Raby with Cam Jansen, Amy Markscores, Alex Ferrario. Guys, in this last segment, to really break down this second round series between the Blues and Stars, in the words of Dave Chappelle and the Players Hate Her Ball skit on the Chappelle Show, I hate you, I wish nothing but the worst things to you and everything and everyone that you love.
Yes.
Give me a reason to hate the Stars.
Well, we do have a reason to hate the Stars. I mean, we saw what Jamie Benn did to Petro. I know it's still sitting a lot of fans' heads when he sat on him behind the net with a couple, I think it was like 5 minutes ago in a 2-2 game, and just it kind of blew up a little bit. And you know what? We shouldn't like anybody, to be honest with you. Now, do we have the rivalry like we would against the Nashville Predators? No, not really. But that's going to change here pretty quick. The more you play teams like this in the playoffs, the more you hate each other. But we definitely should hate Jamie Benn as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we like Ben Bishop. Great, good. Yeah, you're from St. Louis. I grew up with you. Fine. But we should hate him as well, in my opinion.
Great guy, but
we should hate him.
Yeah.
We should hate everybody.
Amy, why do we hate the Stars?
Oh, you know what happened? It was like a switch for me. I hate Nashville so much. I thought, surely I can't hate anyone as much as I hate Nashville. And then the moment I found out we were playing the Stars, I immediately hated them.
Yes.
I hate them for existing right now.
Great attitude to
yeah.
have.
Yeah. I just, all of them. I don't like any of them. They're annoying. They're irritating.
They're annoying.
They're uncouth.
Jeez.
hate.
Yeah,
hate,
just
hate.
So much hate. I think it's because they're on, you know, here's the reason why you can hate them. Because they're lining up opposite you.
That's all you need to know.
Alex, why do you hate the Stars?
I don't know. I don't even know if I hate the Stars.
I know.
I've hated a lot
of guys on that team, to be honest.
They're the worst.
Honestly, Antoine Roussel was the last reason I hated the Dallas Stars, and he's not there anymore. So, Jamie Benn. But you know what? You hate him, but watching him play, he's such a good player.
He's awesome.
Like, you can't. It's the same with you and Brad Marchand. Like people
Ooh,
hate
you
the
and
guy,
Brad Marchand.
But Amy loves Brad Marchand.
Tell me
sounds
more.
Like we know each
Tell
other.
Tell me more. Each other. No, but it's one of those guys that you enjoy watching him play the game, but you hate when he plays against your team because he's so good.
I will say this about Jamie Benn, though, and of course the boys, look, they're going to hate each other no matter what, and you don't even need a reason for it. You need to go to the third round, and you need to play with that hateful fire in your gut to beat these guys no matter what. But if you go around, I talked to you about this today, Alex.
Yeah.
I go to these fantasy camps, I talk to a bunch of alumni, and I ask them the same question. Who is your guy in the league that you like? Who's your superstar in the league? A lot of these guys love Jamie Benn.
100%.
They love him. He'll fight anybody. He's a warrior. He got called out by his president this year. He sucked it up, and he turned everything around. He's an ultimate captain. He's big. He's tough. And he's unbelievably skilled, too. So he's going to be tough to deal with.
I think that's the part that people don't like him so much is because
he's got great hair.
That's why Cam doesn't like him. But it's he's the ultimate captain. I mean, he's a guy that does everything for you. He'll hit. He'll throw punches if he needs to. He'll throw his body in front of it. It's the same that David Backes was here in St. Louis when he was here.
Exactly.
It's the same guy.
I think that it was obvious why he was one of Hitchcock's favorite players.
Oh, yeah.
To hear Hitch talk about him is like the epitome of Hitch being like the biggest hockey nerd, hockey historian ever.
I'm gonna tell him you said that.
Well, I think he'd agree.
Speed!
To hear him with the guys he's coached and what he's done and the players he's been around in the NHL, Team Canada, all over the world, to hear him talk about Jamie Benn, I think that is when I was like, okay, this guy is the real deal, you know?
He is the real deal. And they got a couple more guys like that who are the real deal, and that's Tyler Seguin.
Yep.
You got Radulov, who's scoring like no other. Their defense are tight. This is going to be a tight game, a tight series in my opinion, although I've been wrong on so many different things. It's ridiculous. But I do think it's going to be a low-scoring series. It's going to be very defensively structured, and Ben Bishop and Jordan Binnington are going to go toe-to-toe, and they're going to be lights out in this series in my opinion.
I have a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
And a reason to hate Dallas. I believe, and this is just me making this up, that the Dallas front office, their president, called the leadership group in and told them they were going to blast them in the press.
Yeah.
Told, here's a heads up. This is what we're doing. Let's try to get the boys going, and then you'll look even better as the leadership of, and again, I'm just completely throwing out a conspiracy theory, but you'll look even better knowing this is coming, saying the right things. We have your back.
I don't think it was that cutesy.
I don't either, but wouldn't that be unbelievable?
I think.
Felt like Jim Leitz just destroyed those two.
That Seguin and Ben woke up the next day and were like, what is going, what
just happened?
I thought he was my friend. one.
Set up a meeting right now. Let's go. And I bet you they sat in there, and I bet you they went toe-to-toe.
But
I bet you there's F-bombs getting thrown
out. If it was orchestrated, it would be brilliant.
I thought we were
if friends. It was orchestrated.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. They said,
okay.
So they called them in and were like, guys, we're going to say this. I'm going to go off.
No way.
I know, but wouldn't it be brilliant if it was?
It'd be cute.
Here's why we should
hang
out.
It'd be brilliant since it worked.
It did work, didn't it?
When we had TWA, we had direct flights out of St. Louis to anywhere in the world. Now we are no longer a hub for the airlines.
We have to go by Dallas all the
time. We have to go to stupid Dallas Airport to get to anywhere.
Fort Worth.
Yeah.
Monster Airport over
Monster
there.
Monster Airport.
You're right. That's why I hate
they
Dallas.
They took our hub.
I'm sick of having flyovers over Dallas and have to stay there and get delayed. That's why
you,
I hate
you mean
it.
You don't like having to connect in Atlanta if you're going to L.A.?
That's exactly. Yeah.
That's what you're going to hang your hat on. Huh? That's what we're hanging our hat on.
No, I initially
shortstop
said
over in
existence.
Sydney on your way to Chicago.
I know.
I'd say
know.
The cowboy boots, but that's just me.
I was going to wear them tonight, but then I figured people thought I was going to be rooting for Dallas, so I didn't do it.
Solid choice.
Look, it's going to be a tight series.
Little Steve Ott connection in this series as well.
Yeah, Otter was a big deal down there. He's drafted for, first round. I was playing with Otter in Windsor when he got drafted and signed $1 million signing bonus and bought an Escalade, and I was right next to him in our billet family. I remember seeing that and him in that Escalade and like, oh, my God. He's going to make the NHL. That's what NHL players do. They buy nice cars. That's when the Escalade first came out. It was unbelievable. And Otter had a great great run down in Dallas.
What'd you buy
with
your
them.
Signing bonus?
A house. Yeah, bought a house right next to my parents, which I still live in right now, and I love it to death.
That works.
Although they annoy me, and I just lock the doors. You guys know how it goes.
That was unbelievable. The story that's popped up a couple of times.
He's a Eureka guy.
On social media when you were playing and getting ready to hopefully be drafted, talking about what your parents had done for you and what they meant to you. And, you know, I think especially in this sport, in the playoffs, when you're watching.
No, he's locking his door.
It's something cool to think about, man.
It
it's
is.
Cool
no, they honestly, and at that point.
You must even think about that now as we're, you know, talking about the game. You're getting ready to watch
it. You know, when you're traveling to Michigan every single weekend, you're spending money, and my dad's gone every weekend, and my mom's looking at my dad like, well, where are you going? Wait, where are you going again? And my dad's just like, trust me, Cam's he's doing it. And my mom didn't understand, so they collectively both, they fought about money. We had a move and stuff like that. But it worked out. My dad knew that I was passionate for the sport, but boy, oh boy, they put a lot of time and money into my career, and of course it worked out. But if it wasn't for them, my gosh almighty. And now these new rinks are being popped up all over St. Louis to help out all these kids that have to travel and stuff like that, because I lived way out in the middle of nowhere and had to go to East Alton at 6 a.m. for practice for AAA. Not an easy thing to do, but now a lot more rinks are going to help out.
Well, whether you were an NHL player, whether you played youth hockey, whether you're in the stands tonight watching on TV, parents have all done a lot for
us. They've done a lot. Ask Joey Vitale's mom and dad as well. We used to take him on road trips, and we'd have everybody wanting to be in the van with my dad driving for sure. So we had a great time, but boy, oh boy, it was expensive, and you have to have dedication for your mom and dad, or you're hopeless, in my opinion.
Love you, mom and dad.
Thank you. Love you too.
Well,
oh, I love them, not you. Okay, I love you too. Fine, that's fine.
I love you. That's Cam Jansen. Thanks,
right
buddy. Amy and Alex will be back. In pregame, we'll take one more break, come back, and get ready for the Blues pregame skate on your home for the Cardinals and Blues KMOX.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation, America's sports voice, KMOX.
How many times this song has been downloaded over the last couple of months? Turn it up, Mike Anderson. All right, thank you to Cam Jansen for joining us. Also, Alex and Amy wrapping up this pregame edition of the Munganast St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Chris Ramey on KMOX. Pregame skate comes your way in 5 minutes. Curbs and Joey will be along. Get a visit with John Shapiro covers the Stars going to the Blues dressing room. So Terry Yake, Blues alumni, is going to be in the building tonight. The great Terry Yake are back on the broadcast. And at about 8:45, we will drop the puck at Enterprise Center, game one of this round two matchup. Something's got to give, man. Two of maybe the two best goaltenders right now in the NHL. Ben Bishop with just a ridiculous year and already a ridiculous playoffs for Dallas against Jordan Binnington and the St. Louis Blues. Boston and Columbus are through two periods in Boston. The Bruins, a 1-0 lead over the Blue Jackets. Power play after power play exchanged in that second period, but no blood. The Bruins hold a 1-0 lead in their first game. We'll keep you posted on everything else that's going on around the NHL throughout the evening. Blues the second of the two games that are on our plate tonight. Don't go anywhere. Pre-game skate starts next. This has been a Blues pre-game edition of the Among Us St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line from Enterprise Center. Chris Raby with you back in a moment to get ready for Puck Drop on KMOX. Don't believe it's coming back soon. And you really don't remember. Was it something that he said?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.